This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlu luqtatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 2, Ayah 183, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you. It is mandatory for you, like it was a part of faith, mandatory for people before you, people of the scripture in the past. لعلكم تتقون, so that you may attain taqwa. That is the reason for fasting in the month of Ramadan, and also for fasting outside the month of Ramadan. But especially in Ramadan, this is the highlight of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If you want to write the objective of Ramadan, why is it that we're fasting in Ramadan, and what is it that I can do to make my Ramadan more fruitful? The success criteria is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Have I acquired more taqwa or not? I'm going to, inshallah, talk a little bit about what taqwa means. And then from this ayat of Quran that talk about the fasting of Ramadan, the passage that I started reciting, I'll bring out some points that, inshallah, will help us all attain the quality of taqwa, the objective of Ramadan, taqwa. Taqwa is described or defined as امْتِثَالُ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَابُ نَهِيهِ. It is doing what Allah has commanded and leaving what Allah has made prohibited. That is the essence of the quality of taqwa. That is the that's the definition of it. Now, what I want to show is a little bit of what the word means, like linguistically. And then the word in its linguistic origin, how does that translate to the understanding or the manifestation of the concept of taqwa? You see, for example, the word fasting, siyam or sawm, in Arabic, in old Arabic, before pre-Islamic Arabic, they would describe somebody who wouldn't speak a lot. They would call that person sa'im, someone who is silent, in the sense that they withheld themselves from speaking. So think of that image, and now take that image and translate that into the actual meaning or the application of siyam as we know it. It is to abstain from eating and drinking and intimacy. The image in an Arabic, for an Arabic word, the pre-Islamic image that you find, that actually really has a close relationship to the meaning and application of the word. Taqwa, since it's a concept, it's, I think, even more important that we explore its linguistic origins, its etymology. We find in Lisan al-Arab of Ibn Manzur, the lexicon Lisan al-Arab, Ibn Manzur says that taqwa is min al-wiqaya, and wiqaya is a shield that a soldier would use for protecting himself or herself from getting killed in the battlefield. That is what the image is. Okay, imagine taqwa as the shield. Now, what does that image look like in application today? Taqwa is a shield that protects us from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is the shield that protects us from sins. Taqwa is the shield that protects us from doing something haram when nobody else is watching. The thing that stops us from doing something impermissible, the thing that stops us from saying something inappropriate, that thing that stops us from looking at something inappropriate, unacceptable, is taqwa. Especially when nobody else is watching us, we know Allah is watching, and that at its core is the shield that protects us. It is what protects our souls from harm. This taqwa is what protects our souls from harm, which is sins. The Prophet ﷺ described fasting as a sawmu junna. Fasting is a shield. So as you can see, the concept of taqwa is built into the idea of fasting. Fasting is a shield. It protects us from Allah's punishment. It protects us from sins. It protects us and removes us from the fire of hell. Many years of travel. Every day a person fasts, they are removed many years from the fire of hell, distanced from the fire of hell. Taqwa literally is a shield between the believer and the punishment of the fire. Taqwa also means, linguistically, the image of it is to leave something. The Prophet ﷺ used the linguistic meaning of the word taqwa, its dictionary meaning, let's call it that, when speaking about doubtful matters. He said, "Al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin." Halal is clear and haram is clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Then there are doubtful matters that many people don't know. فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. The one who has left الشُّبُهَات, left things that are doubtful, has protected himself and his religion. The word the Prophet ﷺ used to leave here, فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَات, the word اتَّقَى, from the same word as taqwa. Its meaning is to leave something, that's the image. Now, how does it translate into application? Taqwa is to leave haram. Taqwa is to leave sins. That is, by definition, what taqwa means. When Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was asked, what is taqwa? He said, it's like walking a road with potholes and obstacles and pitfalls. You avoid the obstacles, you avoid the pitfalls. That is taqwa. You're leaving those situations, those objects that could make you trip, that can make you fall. That, at the core of it, is what taqwa in application means. Now let's talk about fasting. Because remember, the whole goal of Ramadan is to attain taqwa. How does fasting help us attain taqwa? Fasting is, by definition, leaving food, leaving water, leaving intimacy for an extended period of time. That is what fasting is. Fasting is leaving things that are halal. That trains us to leave things that are haram. That is what fasting does. That is how we attain taqwa from fasting. We leave things that are halal. Food, water, intimacy with our spouses. Halal. But we leave that. And that is by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we leave it for days. A whole month. And each day for many, many hours. That is done to train us to leave something that's haram, also in compliance with Allah's command. Fasting trains us to leave the most basic necessities of life. Food, water, and intimacy. The most basic essential needs of life. That is training for us to leave something that is non-essential. A sinful habit, a sinful business or business transactions. If I could leave food and water for an extended period of time, then I can most definitely leave something that's non-essential. After Ramadan, that's the point, that's the training that Ramadan provides us. That's what the Prophet ﷺ intended when he said, "مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورَ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ." The person who cannot stop lying and providing false testimony and doesn't break the cycle of corruption that they're caught in, then Allah has no need for them to leave their food and water. Meaning, there's no, like, the soul of the fasting, the goal, objective of fasting, which is to acquire taqwa, which is to stop haram actions, to leave haram things. That has not been attained. All this person has done is not eat and not drink. But they hadn't really trained themselves to leave haram. That concept or that is missing. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. If you look at the ayat of Surah Baqarah, the ayat that describe the fasting, at the end of that passage, The passage starts at ayah number 183, and the passage concludes at ayah number 187. Okay, ayah number 188 says, "وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ." Ayah 188 from Surah 2. This is again the ayah right after Allah finishes talking about fasting. What does this ayah say? What does this ayah say? It says, "Do not consume one another's property by unjust means, nor offer it as a bribe to the authorities, so that you may deliberately and wrongfully devour a part of other people's wealth." This ayah is talking about systemic corruption. It's talking about bribery. It's talking about exploitation. It's talking about people who are powerful using their power and privilege to get more power and more money and more privilege. This is the ayah that says don't do that. Right after the ayat of fasting. Because fasting is supposed to train us to leave things. Leave haram things. Leave exploitation. Leave things that are sinful habits. That is the purpose of it. That's the objective of it. And that is what one of the wisdoms, wallahu alam, why this command came right after the passage of fasting. As if to ask us, did your fast really change you? Did it transform you really? Ramadan, did it change you in any way, shape or form? The fasting is to leave food and water, essential needs, halal things, training to leave non-essential things, training to leave haram things. Shaykh As-Sa'di says, أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ يَتْرُكُ مَا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ وَنَحْوِهَا أَلَّتِي تُمِيلُ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسُهُ التي تميل إليه نفسه متقربا بذلك إلى الله راجيا بتركها ثوابه فهذا من التقوى. He says, the person who is fasting, he leaves food, water, intimacy, the things that the soul desires, and he leaves this, or she leaves this, seeking to get close to Allah, seeking by leaving this closeness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His reward. That is from taqwa. Think about this for a second here, that one of the things that fasting trains us is also, you know, comforts of life, things that we are that we like, luxuries that we indulge in. Fasting trains us that we're not dependent on these luxuries, we're not dependent on these comfort foods to make ourselves feel better. Our source of strength, our source of reliance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the comfort food or the latte that we enjoy. We leave that, and again, that's a way of training ourselves that we don't depend on materialistic means. We depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's where our soul finds nourishment. And that's what gives us the energy to continue, and that's where real sustainability is. Taqwa is also linguistically a shelter. Ali radiallahu anhu would say that إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْبَأْسِ اتَّقَيْنَا بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He would say that when the fighting would intensify, we would seek shelter with the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ was the most courageous of all men, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here, Ali radiallahu anhu uses the word ittaqa from the same origin as taqwa to describe seeking shelter. That is what fasting is as well. Fasting is a shelter for us from sin and sinful situations. Think about somebody who is who isn't married and they cannot afford to get married, or perhaps the situation doesn't allow them to get married. The Prophet ﷺ, when he advised people who were not married, he said to them that he was talking about young men, talking to young men, excuse me, and he said to them, if you're able to get married, then get married. But if you're not able to, then fast. Because that fasting is like a shelter from the fitna that surrounds a person. It's a shelter from the temptations of life. That is how we should. That is how we're told to view fasting. That's the image of the word linguistically, back in like its dictionary meaning, and then its applied meaning is it's a shelter from tribulations, from temptations, from fitna. That's what fasting does. It protects us from that. Fasting or taqwa is a means of reducing sins and increasing good. Taqwa is a means of reducing sins, because when we are fasting, by default, we're doing, we're engaging in something that is good for an extended period of time, that is increasing good, and related to that is depriving ourselves of some nutrition. And that weakness of the body reduces the desire for something that is sinful, particularly something that's shameful. The nutritional deprivation, like the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna shaytan yajri min ibn Adam majra dam," or كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that shaytan runs in the veins of the child of Adam, not literally but metaphorically. The idea being that when a person is nutritionally deprived, that reduces the desire for sins, and by default makes it less desirable, less tempting, and on the contrary, it increases a person's good, and that by definition is what taqwa is. So fasting again is training us to acquire taqwa. Taqwa also entails something that's hidden. Taqwa is also something that is hidden, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Taqwa is in the heart. The Prophet ﷺ said, "At-taqwa hahuna," pointing to the heart. It's something that's hidden, it's not apparent, it's not something a person can measure and judge another person by. The Quran says, "Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna allaha alimun khabir." In Surah number 49, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "We have made you, O mankind, from one man and one woman, and made you into ethnicities and into large families, tribes and clans, large extended families, لِتَعَرَفُ, so that you can get to know each other. Not so that you feel superior to another person because of your ethnicity or your tribe or your clan or your family. No, no, that's not the reason why. You are different families, different ethnicities. The diversity is there so that you can get to know each other. The best of you, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The best of you is the one who is most honorable, is the one who has the most taqwa. And that taqwa, inna Allaha alimun khabir, Allah is the one who is knowledgeable and aware. He knows who has how much taqwa. Not people. People can't judge taqwa. Allah is the sole judge of it. And this is a beautiful thing for two reasons. Number one, it is not now anybody's responsibility or prerogative to figure out who is ranked higher or lower. That is Allah's responsibility. That is Allah's call solely. Because taqwa, the basis of success, its true value is known only to Allah. And number two, taqwa is a level playing field. You know, a person who is from a privileged environment does not have an upper hand, because taqwa is something that's in the heart and anybody can acquire it. Unlike, say, materialistic gains or assets, where somebody who is privileged has a head start in life. Taqwa isn't like that. Taqwa is from the heart. Taqwa is something that anybody can acquire. فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. It is something that Allah is holding us as giving us as the success criteria. Now, taqwa is something that's hidden. Likewise is fasting. Fasting, like the Prophet ﷺ said, that it is الصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ quoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith Qudsi, saying, "Fasting is for me and I will reward for that fasting." Meaning, a person fasts solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fast, it's a secret. It's an action done that is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when no one is watching and food is available and accessible, a person not consuming it is not doing that because of Allah. They're not eating because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, and they're fasting for His sake. It's a secret. It is something that's private. Like taqwa is a secret, private matter. So you can see how both of those are related. Taqwa is something that's not apparent. Likewise, fasting is something that's a private matter as well. And the beautiful thing about a private matter is when it's done to please Allah and nobody else. It's done well to not acquire fame, to not acquire accolades or earn accolades. It's done well so Allah can be pleased with us. And that is the sign of taqwa. Lastly, taqwa, which is again the objective of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That's the reason why we're told to fast by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa entails developing empathy for the underprivileged. The Prophet ﷺ would make dua that, O Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'l al-khayrat wa tark al-munkarat wa hubb al-masakin. O Allah, I ask you to give me the ability to do good, to leave evil, and the love of the poor. Do good and leave evil, like we said, is the essence of taqwa. That's the definition of taqwa. وَحُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. Taqwa entails and develops the person who has a love for the poor and empathy for the underprivileged. All of us are a product of our place and time. And a lot of times, if we're from a place or time or circumstances that are privileged, we will not understand the struggle of the underprivileged. We may like to help the underprivileged, and that's good, but understanding their plight, empathizing with it, and then helping them through it is a way higher level. Love of the poor is a higher level than just, you know, feeding a poor person or giving them some monetary help. Because loving the poor is done for the sake of understanding their plight, and it protects from a person thinking that they've done their part now by giving them some money, and now the problem has been solved on their end. Loving the poor makes sure that we understand their plight really well and continue to support the underprivileged in whatever way and shape that support manifests itself. The Prophet ﷺ would make this dua. He would advise Sahaba like Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. He would tell him that Amarani bi hubbil masakin wa dunuwi minhum. My friend told me, referring to the Prophet ﷺ as his friend. My friend told me, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I should love the poor and be close to them. Again, being close to them so we can understand and empathize with them, support them, not just support them to make ourselves feel better, but supporting them because we understand what they're going through. That's one of the things that taqwa entails. Now you look at fasting. Fasting makes us feel the pangs of hunger, the thirstiness in our throats, the lack of luxuries that we're accustomed to. That gives us a glimpse of what the underprivileged experience day in and day out. And that is something that is from the qualities of the righteous, the people who have taqwa, that they can appreciate and put themselves in the shoes of the underprivileged, having the love of the poor. All of these things are part and parcel of taqwa. Fasting in Ramadan, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It is prescribed to us so that we can acquire taqwa, which is a shield protecting us from what's harmful, protecting us from committing sins, even when they're accessible and easy and no one's watching. It's a shield from Allah's punishment. It is to leave something. It is to leave something that is sinful. That is what fasting is preparing us for. To leave haram, if you can leave the halal. To leave the non-essential bad things, if you can leave the essential things like food and water. It is a shelter, like a shelter from a place of refuge, a place of shelter. Fasting is like that, from the trials and tribulation of those of the society around us, the circumstances around us. Taqwa entails reducing sins and doing good entails developing empathy for the underprivileged. All those beautiful things are all tied together with taqwa. And it, when Ramadan ends and we look at our lives, a transformative Ramadan means that our taqwa has increased. That is the success criteria. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah and to implement it in our lives, and I ask Allah to make us reach Ramadan and to make the best of Ramadan, to attain the quality of taqwa, to fast as it is intended to fast, to read Quran with understanding in Ramadan. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. The month of Ramadan is when the Quran was revealed in the night of power. So we developing that connection with the Quran in Ramadan is what helps us attain taqwa. We ask Allah to give us that with understanding of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our worship so that after Ramadan we are changed, transformed people. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.